You get all the guys to testify, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But I mean, just two, that's just two guys, you know? That's just two out of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of guys that have come through Teen Challenge, met with Christ and gone on and made a difference. And it's like getting a big rock and throwing it in a pool, and the ripple effects go out to families, to people on the street, to neighbours, to shops. Do you know what I mean? It's a wave of impact that can only be done through the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ. That when a man is set on fire, that he can't help but be contagious to set other people on fire. Just by being in his very presence, you know there's something different about him. You just know that this man has been with Christ. And that's what we want, and that's our heart, is to be able to set people on fire, to send them out, and to start to burn for Christ just by the way that they live, by the way that they speak, by the way that they react, and by the way that they act. Being set on fire for Christ. So, I don't know if there's a slide or not, if there was one done. I did get a last minute kind of request last night for just one slide. I don't know if it was done. It's no major thing, I just want to see it more than anything. Shame. Oh well. The title of the message I'll very quickly want to bring this morning is based on time and purpose. Time and purpose. You know, I have this picture in my mind when people open the Word. I think to myself, you know, if we could approach the Word of God like how Moses approached the burning bush. That might be a bit of a strange analogy, but I'll kind of walk you through it. You know, as Moses is walking along, he sees a bush, it's on fire, and God is in the bush, and he says, "Moses, come." And as he approaches the bush, he says, "Take off your shoes, because this is holy ground." And if we could see the Word of God in that way, that every time we approach the Word of God, that we would just be so reverent before it, say, "This is the Word of God. This is the very Word of God that I'm reading. It's not a book. It's not 10 steps on how to deal with stuff. It hasn't just got the answer. Jesus is the answer." There's a difference. And when we come before the Word, if we can think, "God, I'm actually approaching the burning bush," and we come with reverence and we come with humility. Sometimes we come with an apathy. We can come with we read it, but don't do anything with it, and it's just, "Well, I've had my quiet time, and I'll just get on with my day. I was on fire on Sunday in church, but Monday's hit me, and now the blues are here, and everything's back to normal. This is reality." And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. We should be leaving this church on fire, that it would impact everything we do from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday and Friday. Psalm 90 says, "Our days may come to 70 or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. They pass by and we fly away quickly." Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Psalm 139:4 says, "Lord, remind me of how brief my time is on earth. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is." In the Message, I love the Message. It just kind of turns things around, doesn't it? It's great for a devotional. He says, "Nothing but a wisp of fog before this." It says, "Now I have a word for you who brashly announced today at the latest or tomorrow where you're off to such and such a city for a year. We're going to start a business and make a lot of money. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. Instead, you should make it a habit to say, 'If the Master wills it, we're still alive. We will do this or we will do that.'" I want to change your perception of time. How fast time is. It's just going by. There's nothing you can do every second. It's like grasping the wind or grasping a handful of sand, and you hang on to it and you're trying to enjoy life and it's going by. And before you know it, 10 years can have gone by and you've accomplished nothing. You know, Christ didn't only set us free so we could just go through this life and then be saved. He set us free because he has a purpose for every man and woman sitting in this place. For every man and woman in the body of Christ, he has got a unique plan for your life. As Neil said there, I've got a hope and a plan for your life to prosper you and not to harm you, to give a hope and a future. Every moment is another chance, and God just keeps on sending them. So we have time. I come across this. Statistically, 90% of the things we worry about never come to pass. Is that unbelievable? 90% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. And probably the 10% of the things that do, doesn't matter anyway. Because God's got a greater good behind it as well. He's allowed it to happen. So you may be going through some stuff right now, but God has got a reason and a purpose for it, and he's going to bring something amazing out of it. I can assure you of that. But we have an enemy, and he will do everything he can to sabotage God's plan for your life. We're in a battle every day. We're in a battle. Every day. You know, and I believe it's Satan's greatest trick is to make you believe that he doesn't exist. I really do. Because if it's not him, then it must be true. And I come across a saying that said, a man will believe anything that is whispered to him. And Satan is constantly whispering. He's constantly telling us that we're not good enough, we're not anointed enough, you've not prayed enough, you've not done this enough, you've not done that enough. You haven't got anything yet like the character of Christ. You're not able to do what God's called you to do. And the reality of it is we haven't. We don't have the ability to do what God's called us to do. But you know, we need to know the word because we are in a battle. If God has a plan for us, then what is that plan? The first and foremost plan, and I believe pretty much the basically the only plan that precedes all other plans, for God's will for your life is to be in relationship with him. People come to me and say, I just can't work out what God wants me to do. Where am I supposed to go? What am I meant to do with my life? What am I meant? What? And they're just in confusion and they lose the peace. And it's all about the will of God and trying to chase this plan. And I say the same thing all the time. God's plan for your life is to be in relationship with him. Pursue that. And everything else will fall into place. Satan hates that. Hates it. He hates Christ in you. He hates the plan that God has got for you. And that is the battle. He will use distraction to stop you from spending time with God. He will keep you so busy for God that you won't have time for God. He will keep you from in doubt and disbelief, that unableness, that constant whispering that carries on. It tells us that we're just not good enough. But Christ is. Christ is. He goes on to say in Psalm 139, he says that he saw our unformed body. All the days before me were written in your book before any one of them come to pass. Is that not amazing? Before any day comes to pass in your life, God is already there. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's above time. It's not going to blow up, is it? He's above time. He knows the beginning from the end. That's why he can allow a bad situation to not turn out to be good. Because he's already there. He's already there. The things we worry about, God's already there. And we need to take a step back sometimes and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not good enough. But Lord, with you, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, because I'm more than a conquering Christ, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things in Christ. We can do all things in Christ. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And if we're daily pursuing Him, the things that are pursuing us have no chance. When we take our eyes off Him and we start to focus on the stuff takes over us. And we be consumed with the stuff. As Pastor Gordon was praying this morning, I believe that was prophetic. The stuff that we carry, we need to know that only Christ is able to come in and deal with the stuff. When we go to Him, when we think, if your mind is set on the principle that you need to deal with your stuff before you can come into His presence, you will never achieve it. You will never get there. Because that was the purpose of Christ. Every religion on earth is about man reaching up to heaven. If I do this, this, and this, I'll be good enough. If I sort this out, and if I take a righteous stance in my life, I'll be good enough. But Christianity is the only religion in this world where God realized that we couldn't make it to Him, so He came down to us in our stuff so that we could be released from it, the stuff, and be free in Him. The gospel is not complicated. We overcomplicate it. It's very simple. It really is. But we go off on these sidetracks, these tangents, and we get distracted. What I want to say this morning is keep the will of God for your life as a priority of pursuing Him. Make it your priority every day to pursue Him, not your stuff. Your stuff will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will come together. It's the word of God. Pursuing the will of God, pursuing a vision in our lives. In Proverbs 29:19 says, a man without a vision casts off self-control. We need vision. I remember when someone first started speaking to me about vision. When I come into Teen Challenge, I'd been on heroin and crack cocaine for 10 years, and methadone. I'd drink my methadone and go and get all the people's methadone that they'd were selling. So I'd actually go around every person that I knew that was getting, used to get dispensed then. He didn't have to go to the chemist and take it. So you do now. The government solution was worse than the problem. But I used to go to every dealer and buy their methadone and buy their methadone and buy their methadone. And my tolerance was so high, it just escalated. I was a dead man walking. I used to wake up every day and my first feeling in the morning was I was gutted that I wasn't dead. I wanted to die. Every night I went to sleep and my only prayer, not that I was really praying at the time, I didn't know Jesus then, but if you were to say a prayer, it was kind of in that format, God, I just hope I don't wake up tomorrow, because I don't know, I have to go through all that again that I've done today. Came into Teen Challenge, Christ set me free. Christ broke the chains that were holding me. And then as I went through the program, we have there's a lot of counselling and, you know, and planning towards the tail end of the program. So then I heard about a vision, and I never thought about a vision. I was thinking, well, what's a vision? Actually, all I know is taking drugs or the program. And I couldn't comprehend what else I could do with my life. I didn't understand that God had a plan for each one of us, on top of underneath the priority of Him being our first priority in life, is to be in a relationship with Him. He says He gives us our heart's desires when we pursue Him. And I was told this. I was told, write 5 things down that I wanted to achieve in the next 5 years. And I thought, wow. But be bold enough to make it big, but realistic, it's, you know, I don't want to go to the moon, or, you know what I mean, or you know, it was just like five simple but big things for me in my life that I wanted to see happen over the next 5 years. And there's a scripture that says, this is how we know we belong to the truth and how we get our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything that we ask. If your heart is right before God in your walk with Christ, anything you ask, he will give to you. Because your motive is right, there is complete peace in your heart. You know you have Jesus at the center of your life. He is the number one person in your life to pursue. You can ask anything in his name when you were in that place because your motives are right, because you're honoring Christ with your decisions. And that was given to me before I wrote the five things down. Is my motive right? Is Jesus first in my life? Is he my everything? Am I completely surrendered to him? Is everything I've got his? Is all my money his? Yes. So I wrote the five things down, and within 3 years, all five things had come to pass. And they were big things for me. Massive, really. And it was to go to the Orient, it was to get married, it was to become a worship leader, it was to become a fully trained counsellor. What was the fifth one? Oh, to become a fitness instructor. And all five things happened, and I remember thinking, it was about three, four years after I'd written this that I was standing on the Great Wall of China, a worship leader on a counselling course, qualified as a fitness instructor. And I thought to myself, you know what, only God could have done this. Only God could have done this. So I wrote another five things down. I'm not telling you what they are yet. Because they haven't all happened yet, so. That's between me and God. And my wife. Some of it. All right, I shouldn't have said that. It's not. A man who aims at nothing hits nothing. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Every day is a gift from God. It's not a right. It's not. It's a privilege. It's a gift. This is a day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You should be going to your work every day and just going in wherever. You know, we should be able to go on a Monday morning and be able, if we're not feeling the same on a Monday morning as we do in church, then there's something's wrong, because that is saying that your environment is dictating who you are. You should be going into work set on fire for Christ, and your environment should be dictated by who you are in him. Nothing should be different. You should be able to worship God wherever God has got you tomorrow morning. And it might be tough, and I'm not brushing it off. We go through some tough stuff, but God is tougher. And God is able, and his grace is sufficient. And we should be able to go through the week with the same attitude, just saying, I today am lifting Christ high. I today am allowing the presence and the strength of my living God to live through me into my circumstances, into my relationships, into my work, into my problems, into my stuff. And I'm not going to be persuaded that I'm anything less than a child of God, because nothing can ever take that away from us. No matter how much you mess up this week or how much you messed up last week, you were still unconditionally loved by Christ. You were still unconditionally accepted by Christ, and you are unconditionally secure in him. And nothing that you can do can change that, because the cross has dealt with that stuff. And we don't have to try and get it back by what we do. And when you have that revelation, you want to be with him. You want to pray. You want to read your word. You shouldn't be reading your word and praying in order to get into his presence or to please God, because there's nothing more we can do. Christ has already done it all. All we need to do is simply believe and receive, and we should be able to go through the week. And with that in mind, just, you know what?
I've got a lot of stuff going on, but right now, but I know that my God is able, that my God is greater, that Christ is bigger than anything I face today. And if it's in my life, then God's allowed it in my life for a greater good. Because I am more than a conqueror, and we are more than a conqueror in Christ who sets us free. In Romans 8, I'm kind of landing now, so it's cool. In Romans 8, 37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height or depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." And that is written, and that is for you and me this morning. That is for us on a Monday morning. That is for us. No matter what we're facing, that is a reality and a fact. And only you can turn away from that, because God will never turn away from you. He's with us, he's with you, and he's for you. He is your best friend. I remember sitting at the back of a church. I'm not sure if I shared this before, but I was sitting at the back of a church once, and I was sitting there, and I had my church face on. But I was not feeling it. Do you know what I mean? Do you know one of them sort of Sundays? It's really not feeling it. And how are you doing? Oh, amen, brother. I'm fine. It's great. Everything couldn't be better. Well, I'm breaking up and breaking inside of me. Everything is breaking. And I'm sitting there. The church is packed. And I'm sitting at the back, and I'm not told one person how I'm feeling. Not one. And I had my mask on. And I prayed this prayer. I was sitting right at the back. It was one of them, the last one in, first one out scenarios. I was feeling, and I was sitting at the back of the church. And I prayed this prayer, and I said, "God, Lord, I know that you're my fortress, my deliverer, my rock, my teacher, that you're my comforter, my counselor, that you are the I am. I recognize and I give you thanks for all of these things. But Lord, right now, all I need is for you to be my friend. I just want to be myself. I don't want to just be anything other than myself. God, I'm feeling really bad." And I was sitting in church, and I prayed that prayer. And this old woman from the back of the church, I don't even know her, she come over to me, and she tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "God has given me something for you." And I looked down and I thought, oh no. So as if I haven't got enough to do. "God has told me he also wants to be your friend." I told nobody that I was feeling. And I didn't pray out loud. I prayed it under my breath. So there's no way anyone could have heard what I'd prayed. And God just reconfirmed it through her and just said, "You know what? I am all of this stuff, but today I just want to be your friend too." Is that not amazing? Is that not a great God that we serve? If you're struggling today, if your focus is on your stuff more than him, I just want to encourage you to take your eyes off your stuff. Otherwise, you'll just be going round and round and round. And focus on Christ. Focus on your relationship with him. Go deeper into the presence of God. And he will deal with your stuff. Because that's what he does. And he's good at it. He's very good at it. He created you. He knows you better than any other person sitting in this room in your family. He knows you. And he wants to come into your stuff right now and to start to do some healing, to start doing some pruning, to start to refine you. He wants to set you free this morning. All we have to do is just say yes. How simple is that? How amazing is that? God, yes, just come into me stuff. I've had enough, Lord. I just want you to be my friend. but I also need you to be my fortress, my counselor, my deliverer. God, I need you this morning. So I just want to put this out there. If everyone could just close their eyes for a second. If you're, this is specific. Well, two things. The first thing is, maybe you don't even know Christ this morning. Maybe you're wondering what I'm talking about because you haven't got a relationship with him. If there's anybody in this house this morning that would like to receive Jesus into their lives, just simply raise your hand where you're sitting. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The second thing is, and I really feel this strongly right now, if there's people in this room that have been so focused and bogged down with their stuff that it's completely taken their eyes off the purpose of life, which is Christ, this is just an opportunity to him, between you and him, to say, Lord, just as an acknowledgement, I'm refocusing my attention back onto you this morning. I'm taking my eyes off my stuff because I'm so tired and I just want to focus upon you. If that's you this morning, if you just want to raise your hand simply as a gesture towards him, that's a lot of people. Thank you, Lord. You're not alone. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you, Lord, that your word gives us direction and it simply directs us to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us all the ability, particularly those that raise their hands, Lord, that they help them by the power of your Holy Spirit to readdress the priorities in life and to be able to have a fresh revelation of who you are. Lord, that they with their sight would be focused upon you, that it would be such a powerful experience for each person, that the stuff would become insignificant. It become irrelevant almost compared to knowing you. Holy Spirit, come into every life, into this church. Empower us to be like you, to make a difference in our families, in the street, just in our day-to-day lives, in our workplaces. God, I pray, Lord, that people would see us and see that we are different because we've been with you and that you are in us. We thank you, Lord, that you make it so simple. We thank you for amazing grace. God, we don't deserve any of this, but you keep pouring it out. And Lord, that blows me away. That blows me away. Thank you, Lord, that even though we don't deserve it, you give us everything. And everything we do deserve, you took to the cross. Thank you, Lord, for that exchange. That goes beyond words, Lord. But I pray that you'd be with every man and woman and child in this place as we leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.